I dedicate this episode to my grandmother, a woman I owe so much, my role model for a powerful, feminine, creative, sensual, passionate woman who always goes after her dreams.
This is the Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore modern knowledge and ancient wisdom to support women in finding answers to their deepest longings and unlocking their true power. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, and together with genuine experts in the fields of intimacy, tantra, sexual energy, women's health and wellness, relationships, and human potential, we explore how to find our truths and connect deeply with our bodies, utilizing all the natural tools that help us thrive and create more love and peace in this world. This podcast is about rising above, taking responsibility for our own empowerment, breaking free from old conditioning and outdated projections. To find out more about the Feel membership that offers to take this knowledge into your life through daily embodiment practices, check this podcast description.
It wasn't easy for her when she was growing up. There was no conversation on female empowerment. She grew up in Soviet Union, where entrepreneurship was not only unencouraged, but made illegal. When she was growing up, a woman wasn't ever supposed to have lovers or date actively. She was supposed to only get married once. My grandmother was an entrepreneur and she married more than once. At the same time, while she was going against all the laws, all the rules, she was building the life of her dreams. She's a beautiful mother and a grandmother and a poet and a successful entrepreneur and has lived a life with a whole loving heart. And she inspired me to become an entrepreneur, and she inspired me and encouraged me to always stick to my truth, even when other people don't like it. In this episode, I want to share more about her story and my story with her, and I want to share things I learned from her that I believe can help us grow our little girls as more confident and more inspired and happy women who can make more beautiful impact on this world in the future. We are responsible for the next generation, as I am growing up and entering the age when I can become a mother, and probably you might be already a mother, or you might be someone who knows a mother or someone who will become a mother one day. You might be a man as well, and you might be supporting mothers, and you might be thinking of how you want to grow your children as well, and you will also learn good things in this episode. So I'm very, very, very excited to record it. I'm recording it now in Kazakhstan, in my home country, in my parents' home. I just saw my grandmother a couple of days ago, and I'm going to see her tomorrow again and probably record a little piece with her and translate it for you and include in this podcast episode. The energy is right now. I feel ready to share more about her and hopefully inspire lots of you. And I really hope to hear your feedback for this episode, what you've learned, probably what challenged your ideas or what inspired you, or maybe something you completely didn't like. Any opinion, I would love to hear from you. It means a lot. And if you would like to leave it in the comments for this episode, I believe you can do so on Spotify and perhaps even on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to this episode. And yes, let me dive in. And I want to start by sharing a few pieces of advice that really supported my life, that I heard from her and remembered forever. First one was actually something she wished for one of my birthdays in my early 20s. She wished for me to never stop romanticizing my life. What she meant by it, and she explained, is when we lose that sense of romance, that sense of beauty, fairy tale, that belief in some magic that might happen, and when we stop being romantic and poetic, we start getting old. That's what she said. And she said that by actually keeping the romance going and believing in love, believing in magic, and sometimes even being naive and silly, we can stay young forever. We can always continue pursuing our dreams and having that life force moving in us, in the body. next piece of advice she gave to me, and this one is very practical so that you get the vibe of her. What always in your businesses, have one source of income that is stable and comes from something people need to buy, even if there is a war around them, a necessity. And this will ensure you always have your basics covered and you can go crazy in with your other ideas and businesses. That makes sense. And it does make sense, but at the same time, sometimes it's difficult to remember it when you actually go after your financial dreams and build businesses. And me as an entrepreneur, I can definitely relate to it. I always want to go and make a big impact and create this crazy big company out of my idea. But also it's important to stay grounded and remember I need to eat. And there always should be a source of income that comes from simple things that everybody needs. Next piece of advice was, of course, about love. She said, find a man. I mean, in my case, a man. It can be anyone in your case. Find someone who you can build a relationship with where there is no ceiling. There is no end destination. There is never a sense of here we are, here we arrived, and that's it. Find someone with whom you can never see end of progress, with whom you can endlessly grow and never even imagine that things can just stop and not evolve anymore. Go after continuous evolvement, and then you will never be bored and will always be fulfilled in such a relationship. Of course, it can be hard sometimes, but at least you do need to have that sense of continuous growth and progress so that you can stay inspired as a strong woman that you are. And this I can definitely deeply relate to, because if I want to keep evolving myself, I do need someone who constantly evolves as well. I can never feel stagnant. And when I feel stagnant, and if it ever happens in my life, and it had happened before, I just lose inspiration and I need to be inspired. Always, not just by my love partner, but by my friends as well. And I started applying this advice of hers, not just to my relationship, but to friendships too. I can't feel stagnant with people in my friendships. I want to see them evolve and grow. Of course, there is no pressure and there are moments in life when we need to slow down and just observe things. But this is also part of evolving and growing. And, you know, finding those people who are hungry for something more, who are hungry for a better life and who are willing to work for it. That's really, for me personally, a secret to fulfilling relationships. And that's just me. It might be different for other people, but that's something that I feel like we had together with her in our blood, the drive for more, and finding the people who align with that is really, really nourishing. So these are the three things that I took away from her. And of course, there are so many more, but I want to start this podcast with these three. So who that woman is and why is she so, so incredibly special. Of course, she is my grandmother, and I can say that about her, and I can be biased, but I feel like growing up and meeting so many people in my life, moving from Kazakhstan to London, and experiencing different cultures, both conservative and progressive, liberal and more traditional, I've met a lot of people, and I've met a lot of women, and I've been involved deeply in conversation on female empowerment, on the change in narrative around what does it mean to be a woman, and also rise of consciousness around the feminine. And I feel like I have, quite a big spectrum of what I've seen and whom I've met. And again, being completely biased, I still always come back in my inspiration about women to my grandmother, because her strength and her courage and her creativity alongside her deep feminine energy is something that is very, very, very hard to come across still. And it is difficult these days to lean both into your power and lead and build businesses and create and progress and protect yourself while also recognizing the softness and femininity and magnetism and sensuality that the feminine body can have. And there are many reasons for it. One, we don't have enough role models. Two, we don't have enough safety in the world to feel this way. Three, we don't have enough encouragement or support system. So many reasons. And this is something I'm trying and learning to do. And this is the whole passion of mine behind creating Feel, to give women that sense of power, safety, so that they can lean both into their feminine and also balance their masculine and really, really create the life they desire. And this is what I believe she really showed me from a very young age. But also there is a second part to why I want to talk about her, is her encouragement to the little girls that she's been a part of nurturing of them. Little girls, her grandchildren. I want to share what kind of things she told me and she says to my sisters and to her daughters-in-law. Special, simple things that we can learn from her and share with our women around us and our children that I believe are super powerful and are deeply, deeply encouraging and healing. So I believe I've had a confidence and courage to go after my dreams from very early age and to pave my own way, to make my own decisions, always make my mind up by myself and relying on research and studies, etc. But I've always had my innate knowing and intuition and trust into myself, because growing up, she told me things like, you are so special, you are so beautiful, you know what you want, I love how you dance, I love how you move, look at yourself, how gorgeous you are. And these are very simple things, simple compliments that I've been receiving as a child from an adult, from a caretaker, that made me feel like I am enough by myself, by just being in this world. That made a huge contribution. And now learning more about humans, and after taking big certifications in embodiment and, you know, trauma and tantric approach to life and love, sex and relationships, I can see how rare this is, how rare children get this level of encouragement and admiration from their caretakers, from their parents, from their grandparents. Very often we hear completely opposite things like, oh, you need to go and study harder and do more because you're not enough. Of course, in other words, but that's how we receive this information when somebody who is a figure of influence in our lives isn't telling us these simple things, that we are beautiful and special and enough as we are. I'm so grateful to have had that experience with her. And I hope more people will give it to their children, to their friends, to their mothers, to their sisters, to their lovers. Just saying to someone, you're beautiful and you're enough as you are, and really meaning it, is deeply healing, but especially for children in those formative years. Another thing she's been giving me is encouragement. Yes, she would encourage any single talent that I would show a sign of. I would wear mom's dress and dance, and she would say, whoa, oh my God, look at you, what a sense of rhythm. Go dance, you need to dance more, let's take you to dance classes. Or I would observe her writing poetry. She would read poetry to me, and I would repeat, and then I would start writing my own. And that's like age of 2-3 years old, right? And I would read it out loud to her, and she would film it. She would create like a little movie to show to all our relatives, to our parents, and talk about it so highly. And, you know, it's just silly children's poetry, but she would make an effort and show me how much she appreciates it and how much she believes in the possibility of my talents being real. Again, this is something that so many people miss in their lives when, on the opposite, a lot of people have these experiences of having some sort of desires or talents or ideas of who they want to become or what kind of thing they want to do. And then they face their parents or caretakers telling them this is not serious enough or good enough and you should be doing something else. What it does, it just discourages people. It just discourages their own sense of power and their own sense of uniqueness and makes them rely more on external structures and external ideas rather than their own innate longings and truth. And I did not become a poet, or I did not become a dancer, because she encouraged me and loved these traits of me. But I just became, and I grew up, confident in my own knowing of what's true, and also in my own with my own confidence of being able to pursue different talents and desires and see how it goes without a fear of judgment or failure. I knew I could always fail, and my grandmother and my parents, who are always supportive as well, oh my God, I've been so lucky, they would be like, okay, fine. And I really hope more people will start doing this with their children, encouraging their dreams, just allowing them to pursue their talents, and just seeing how it goes. And if it fails, if it doesn't go anywhere, just being like, hey, that's great. You've explored that. Now, what else do you want? These are little things that can help us then create the lives we actually truly desire as we grow up, as we gain more knowledge and skills and experience. But these stances of confidence are really the basics on which we build up. Another thing she did was taking me seriously, despite my age and the level of experience. Even in things like love, where if I would share ideas around love, or if I would talk about the boys I like, she would listen to it seriously, as if all those things actually matter. And in my experience with other adults, most other adults would just say, oh, that's silly, oh, that's going to pass, it doesn't matter, it just doesn't mean anything in your age. Again, this kind of dismissal just did not create enough trust in me with those adults to continue sharing and asking questions. While with her, I felt as I'm being taken seriously, and I could truly share from my heart and feel heard. And therefore, I would continue sharing and learning from a reliable adult about all those things. And this is, I hope, parents and caretakers will do it with their children, you know, taking them seriously, listening, seeing their ideas, and showing to them that you truly care, not dismissing their ideas or their sharings as something that is insignificant. Because now, as we know from most research on human consciousness and human psychology, all those ideas in the childhood and all those experiences really matter, and then they shape how we perceive this world as adults. Finally, she was vulnerable with me, and she still is very vulnerable with me. With other adults, I could see, even as a child, I could see how they don't fully trust me and don't fully share with me, of course, as, I mean, that's the usual pattern, and it's probably pretty normal. There are things that you shouldn't share with children. But if we look just at the energy and overall kind of relationship, I knew that other adults won't share with me exactly what they feel and what they do, and there would be way more secrets. While she was able to, of course, take care of me as a child and not put the burden of her life onto me, but also occasionally share from a vulnerable space about her experience and her feelings. And that just allowed me to learn from her vulnerability more about life and about being a woman. This is something that I probably was lacking from my mother, because she was, and she's so caring about my feelings and so wanting me to be safe and wanting me to be well, that she wouldn't really share her sorrows and her pains with me, because for obvious reasons. But I could feel it still, even as a child. I could feel sometimes where she was sad or when there were some difficulties going on, and I couldn't give back to her because that space just wasn't open between us. And of course, I wish we could establish that deeper connection by expressing some sort of vulnerability, but that's not easy. It's not something that people can just go and do, and there is probably no right or wrong, or black. It's not black and white here. But my grandmother somehow mastered it so well. She was able to hold me as a child safely, but also occasionally really share with me those deep feelings. And those experiences were deeply powerful to me because they could help me build a deeper connection with her, but also learn about pain and sorrow and loss in such a safe way from an adult that I trust. That one, I'm not sure I'm able to, I don't think I'm able to recommend to anyone, but I just offer this reflection in case you guys can find something useful in here. I will share with you her story, where she comes from and how she might have gathered this wisdom and that she passes on to her children and grandkids. And I want to pass on to you and to everyone listening to this episode. Of course, I can't tell you her full story. I wish I could interview her, but she doesn't speak English. She speaks only Russian and Korean. So I will briefly share her story to give you a little flavor of her life. So she comes originally from Russia. She was born in Russia, but to a Korean family. And the way it happened is Koreans, her ancestors, those who lived in the north part of Korea, currently North Korea, but back then there was no North Korea, they accidentally moved, like sort of moving from place to place. They appeared to be on the Russian side because there is a little border there. And they started living in Russia, and eventually they had to acquire the language, but they still kept their traditions, their food, lots of Korean food, their special celebrations, etc. And those Koreans, when Soviet Union started, they were sent to other countries from Russia, to countries like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, etc., because they were not taken as pure Russians. I'm not going to go too deep into history. Basically, they were sent out forcefully. And my ancestors ended up in Kazakhstan. So my grandmother was born in an immigrant family where they were, of course, not purely accepted by the Russians in Soviet Union because they look completely different. They're Asian. They speak a different language. They learn perfect Russian. And of course, they learn all the tradition and history here. However, life was really, really tough. They were working in the fields, living in terrible conditions, extremely, extremely poor, eating mainly rice. That's how they share with me. It's, to be honest, like very terrific stories. So she grew up in poverty with two sisters and a very hardworking mother. And she wanted to study theater when she was growing up. But instead of that, she got married at 18 and moved to Russia, to a little village where my father was born. And her husband ended up being an alcoholic and abusive. And she left him and moved back to Kazakhstan after 4 years. So early 20s, she came back to her family and brought her two little boys with her. So she ended up growing two children at the age of 22 alone in Kazakhstan during Soviet Union, when entrepreneurship was illegal. It was not only unencouraged, but it was completely illegal to make your own money. You had to have a job. So she still wanted a bigger life and a better life. And she was an entrepreneur undercover. Can you imagine? Undercover entrepreneur. We literally had to hide. So she was trading. She was growing vegetables in one place and then bringing them to other cities, basically moving vegetables and selling them because there was such a lack of food. And people had to pay with tickets for food. There was only allocated amount of food for a person. And she was like selling undercover and underground kind of cabbage and potatoes so that those who wanted to buy, they could actually still buy outside of that ticket system. But that meant a very difficult life for my father and his little brother. So because she couldn't really take care of them at the same time. And there was this constant fight between making money and making sure the boys have enough food and opportunities, but also spending enough time with them. So it was a big, big challenge. And in the meantime, she was also very creative and poetic. And she was writing poetry and learning and teaching her boys music, and she was extremely attractive. So there were always lots of men around her. She's always had a lot of sexual energy. She was always kind of the star of the show. And she got married again and had another daughter. And after that, she officially got married 3 times. And, you know, no judgment. Hear what I can say and what I've learned from her. She was in constant search for pure, true love. And as she says, she only found it once and she lost it, but she pursued that search for love and for family and for stability, despite her being so strong and independent. And there was always this fight between her strong and independent figure and her big need for love and safety and a union with a man. So after her second marriage, she met the love of her life, whom she was struggling to build a relationship with because she had children, and she was still young, and there was this huge responsibility coming with her for this relationship, because getting into this relationship seriously meant she needs to bring in this man fully as a new father for these little boys, and that man needs to accept them. And there were lots of difficulties that I might not know about, but the point is, unfortunately, he had a car crash and he died after fully expressing her love and commitment to her. So of course that broke her heart and stayed with her until this day. And quite often she sends me beautiful poetry, love poetry, that she writes to him. And she says that was her pure true love that she lost. And after that, she was just looking for comfort and safety and passion in relationships. She didn't want to give up on it. And this is something she advises me too. But she kind of didn't fully believe that she can find real love anymore after that man, someone she still holds to her heart. And having said that, her life wasn't easy. She had to make her own money, go against the law. She had times when criminals, and you know, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was so much crime. Criminals would come to her house and beat her up and take all the money multiple times. And she was always there as a strong woman mother who needed to protect her children, who needed to make her own money while the whole world, the whole government collapses around her. And despite all of that, she kept writing poetry and believing in the beauty of life and encouraging everybody to have that beauty around them. And she never gave up on passion, love, and dating. She might have given up, and that's just what she says, but I don't really believe it. She might have given up on actual, like, big love of her life, creating a family with him, but she never gave up on romance and that, like, fun and passion that you can have while dating and sharing energy with other wonderful humans. So I was born, and grandkids were born, and now she has this full life, right, where she has a beautiful house and she still runs businesses. She has a taxi business and a hotel business. Basically, she says, now I only have businesses that just stay, that are stable. They always make money. People always need to move, always need to sleep somewhere. So I just do that. And she cooks incredibly well, and she keeps writing poetry, and she keeps encouraging her grandkids to have a big, beautiful life. And it's just such an inspiration to see her house now in her late 70s, so full of life. And she even continues dating online after quite a few years of being single. She goes back now and wants to find a life partner. And it's pretty adorable to see. So lastly, after now you've learned a little bit about her and hopefully learned something from her advice that she passed on to me, I want to share with you a little proof of magic I've experienced recently about her and about the power of intention. 2 months ago, my grandmother had a stroke. My grandmother Rose, her name is Rose, had a stroke. And we were told that that kind of stroke people don't ever recover from, and most people die because it goes into the brain where operating is not possible, and pills and injections don't get, basically medicine doesn't get it, it can't dilute it, or it can't diffuse it. So everybody thought that she'll die, and there is a very small percentage of people who survive. And doctors say the reason and the explanation for that survival is just luck, magic, unexplained. They can't force that survival because they don't know how and why that happens. So We were, of course, all devastated, and I was really scared. And I was in London, and she was in Kazakhstan, and I didn't know what to do. And I don't know, I always believe she can do anything she wants, and there is a certain level of power to her that it just can't happen this way. So I, on day three, after so many conversations with doctors, with relatives, when everybody was just preparing for a funeral, maybe I needed to fly in, and yeah, basically we were all preparing for the worst, because that was what statistics would tell. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to use whatever I've been learning through all this work with Phil, with all these teachers, with Vida Coaching, with all the amazing women who've been teaching me crazy stuff that isn't accepted in this world. I'm going to just go and take all the darkest rituals, and I'm going to also bring in all those spirits I saw in my plant medicines journeys. I'm going to go and into the darkest sides of my consciousness. And I created this ritual at home when I called upon all the spirits. And this time I didn't ask kindly. I wasn't pleasing. I wasn't cute. I wasn't begging. But I gathered my strong energy, and I asked in a way that you owe me. You have to give that to me. I want this healing for her to happen. I want her to meet her grandchildren. I need her to be in this life for me to do even more magic. That was dark, and I'm so glad I just a few months before I did ayahuasca trip where I met quite a dark spirit that was scary but powerful, and I saw it in this ritual. And I spoke to it and asked him, he was a masculine spirit. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Can't really even describe it in words, but it involved claiming, shouting, crying, being deeply in the body and being deeply in subconsciousness, and using sex magic and going into my shadow and my fear of losing as well. And next morning when I woke up, I read a message in our family chat from an uncle who wrote, "Doctor said by some magic last night she recovered and she's gonna be fine." I don't know, coincidence or no, maybe it was meant to be, but that's what happened. And then I spoke to her a couple of days later when she was already allowed to speak on the phone. She said that during that night, she had that dream that wasn't even a dream, was like a deep, deep vision, and something very clear that she remembers very, very clearly, of her trying to get out of some space, of a space where she was trapped, and big dogs who weren't even dogs, who were like dog monsters, trying to kill her and eat her. And at some point she just gathered a sense of will and with her hands killed those dogs and managed to get out, and then she woke up and felt good. You know, of course, this can be explained by multiple chemical processes of what happens with our bodies and our brains when we almost die. But that's also a leap into that other world where perhaps, I believe, we still have a will. We have a fate, but we also have a will. And we are able to create the life we want and make agreements and transform certain experiences into something else. And you know what? I'm just sharing with you facts, what we did and what happened, and what we saw. But that's the main and most important thing, is that she's alive. And she's not only alive, she's healthy. People who get out of that kind of stroke end up with disabilities until the rest of their lives, but she didn't. And she then went into a retreat in the mountains and did lots of breath work and connection. And currently, you know, she's back to her usual life. I'm going to go see her tomorrow. That's super exciting. And I'm just so, so honored to have her as my actual grandmother. And I just want to say that I'm completely aware that not everyone, and Actually, most people don't have this kind of support system in their family. If this episode evoked any sort of pain, frustration, regret, any kind of, you know, challenging emotion, I invite you to look deeper into your relationships with your feminine line. What is your relationship with your mother, your main female caretaker, your grandmother, anyone who was there taking on that feminine role, and whether it was a difficult relationship or challenging or absent or cold or, for lack of a better word, even abusive, or if it was beautiful and just different. I just invite you to acknowledge that relationship and how it shaped you and accept it for what it is. It might be hard, of course, but from a sense of, there is something there that shaped me. This is how it was. And now I'm in this space, in this moment of life, of my life, where I can liberate myself from it. And I can also find sense of gratitude for whatever experience there was, because it just brought me here. And if you need some inspiration here, I invite you to listen to the previous podcast episode of the Feminine Power Podcast, episode 21 with Rhyme, where she shares about her difficult relationship with her feminine line and how she re-established a sense of belonging and a sense of love towards the feminine by looking deeper into her relationship with her mother and grandmother. I hope that it helps, and I'm looking forward to sharing more with you on this Feminine Power Podcast and also within the Feel membership, where we share more of tools and practices that support women in unlocking their true potential. So I'm going to finish this episode here, and I hope to hear any thoughts or feedback or insights you got from this podcast episode. I shared it from my heart without any notes, recording it here in my home, in my parents' home in Kazakhstan, reflecting back onto what that woman meant for me and what I believe the world can learn from her. Thank you for listening to the Feminine Power Podcast. And if you would like to go deeper into your personal development, into your feminine power, into your confidence, your sexual energy, your connection with your body, I invite you to explore our membership for women, where we share the wisdom and practical tools that you can use to really unlock your power to create the life you desire. You can find all about our membership in this episode notes. Until next time, I'm your host, Maria Grinina.